Praise God, praise God. What a God we serve, people. There's no other like Him. And we should serve Him to the best of our ability, people. Let's take the word of God and make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life.
This is life.
I will honor it today.
As this word
brings life
to my spirit.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, you know what? I know today is July 2nd. But we know Tuesday is July 4th, which is Independence Day. Independence Day for our country. You know, on July 4th or Tuesday, our country will be 241 years old. And that's old. That's old. But it seems like it should be like our country would have been here forever. It seems like, you know, did it really have a start, you know? Yes, it did. So, but we are going to be celebrating 241 years that God has given us our nation's liberty, freedom, and independence. And we are to thank God for that liberty and freedom. No other country in the world has what we have. And we all know that our country has come under attack from the inside, if you want to say, to try to drown out our liberties and our freedoms. But because of Christians and them praying to a God that can move and that a God that can change circumstances, He allowed certain things to happen so that we would have the continuous liberty and freedom that we enjoy today, and to roll back certain things that were destroying or limiting our liberties and our freedoms. And God has given us His grace and His mercy upon our hearts and upon our lives this day. And so, you know, we should never take for granted what God has given us. Never take for granted. Always thank Him for what we have. You know, in some countries, you know, not here, but in some countries, you know, to gather together on a Sunday morning is a no-no. Yet we still have people that are home and won't wake up and won't get to church. Not, hey, there's a difference between job and having to work, you know, some things, those are things, you know, or sick or whatever. But we have the liberty and the freedom to wake up this morning and to choose and to get to church. Saying, Father, we can come together shoulder to shoulders with other brothers and sisters and lift up the name that is above all names, to lift Him up. And to feel the presence of God come into a place and touch people's lives. The freedom and the liberty. You go into China, they can't do that thing. Their churches are underground. In the shadows. That they, you know, people can't know, you know, government-wise. And in other countries that are communist, that they can't gather together. You know, honestly, I mean, we have such freedom. I can say, okay, let's stop it. It's too hot in here. Let's go outside. And if we wanted to, we could have church right there on the porch in the open.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an amazing thing. That is what our forefathers fought for. That was one of the things, you know, to have liberty and freedom. And even in Christ, God, because of the sacrifice that Jesus made upon the cross, given us the liberty and the freedom To be able to be set free from things that tie us down and hold us in bondage. You know, we have many great songs or hymns about our nation. You know, we think of God Bless America. My God. You start singing that song, you know, God Bless America. How much have we been blessed by God? God Bless America. God Bless. I mean, that's just an awesome song. That someone wrote, penned down, and gave unto us this day. How great that is that we can sing, God bless this America, bless the land that we love, bless everything we have, your blessings upon it, because when God blesses it, God prospers it. And God has prospered our nation, you know, in many, many ways, from the food that we have, my God, to the freedoms of gaining whatever we want in life if we want it. The freedom and the liberty. The song, America the Beautiful. And one of the parts of it says, and God shed his grace on thee. A beautiful song. Beautiful song. America the Beautiful. God shed his grace on thee. And how much more do we need the grace of God upon our nation? The grace of God. That God's grace would be upon us. Praise God. Upon our nation. Another great song is just called America. And one of the parts says, protect us by thy might, great God our King. My God, how much more do we need the protection of God upon America? Look, let me tell you. There are people and groups out there that hate this nation. We know it. We know it. They hate everything America stands for. They will do everything they can to destroy it from the inside out and from the outside in. And let me tell you, there are certain things that we don't even know about. There are certain things that are happening that we don't know what to do, but we know this. That as that song says, protect us by thy might, great God our King, that we can pray, Lord, protect this nation from the northern border to the southern border, from the east to the west, that God's protection would be upon us. Protect us from the evils of the world so that the blessings of God can come into this place. The greatest nation ever upon the face of the earth. I know there's many people that try to bring it down and try, and yes, there are many problems. Let me tell you, there's problems. You can go to the greatest family in all the world and you'll find problems, no matter what. But we have a nation that has been built up, that has been raised up by God. And if we as Christians will continue to pray and seek God and ask God to move, he can make us a beacon of light again. For the nations of the world. Let me tell you, there's no other nation like America where immigrants from other nations want to come to this place. Not to put any country down because, you know, whatever. But let me tell you, you don't see people knocking on the door to go into Mexico. You ever been to Mexico?
Yeah.
I've been there. Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah.
The tourist places are nice. But get beyond that, and it's not much. It's poverty. Not maybe better now a little bit, but it's still a lot of poverty. A lot of crime. Great nation. But let me tell you, this is the only nation where they're trying to come by boats, by planes, any way they can to get in. Let me tell you, and I can understand that. Trying to get to, but there's ways to come in. There's laws to be followed. And the point I'm trying to make is that we have such a great nation that people around the world are trying to get here. And sometimes we don't realize how great we have it. How great we have it. Every one of us had a, you know, we laid down our heads last night on a pillow that was clean, a house that was nice, you know, We all went to bed with a lot of food in our bellies. A lot of food. Say amen.
Amen.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Okay? That's the blessings of God, that no one went to bed hungry. You know, somebody at work in the post office was saying, they were talking about North Korea, and they said, you know, I said, oh Lord, North Korea, that's a problem place. That's communist, that's just whatever. You know the problems. It's bad. They said, you know, and I don't know if he knows this by truth, but he said, you know, in North Korea, there's no bugs and no no birds. I said, what? He said, I'm telling you, you know why? Because the people are starving, they'll eat anything. And let me tell you, we know we just got one of our American citizens back, and he was not doing well and died. But because of such poverty, that's what he said, and I thought, I never thought of that. You know, we don't realize that, you know, we don't have to leave today and take our guns and go shoot something so we can have supper tonight. We're blessed people. We're blessed, and you need to realize that, how blessed you are, how blessed we are. You think of Johanna, and where Honduras come from? It's a blessing for her to be here. My God, you know. Most of our relatives came from where? Nova Scotia, Canada.
Yeah.
Then after that, France, you know, whatever. They were thrown out, you know.
Thrown out.
We were thrown out.
Yeah.
That's right. That's funny. Thrown out. They said, find a way that we came to Louisiana. Yeah. Amen. We found a place. Praise God. But you see, we need to realize how blessed we are as a nation. You know, we can get in the mother grubs and we can say, well, this is wrong, that's wrong. And let me tell you, we have a lot of crooked politicians. We have a lot of crooked people in office. But you know, there are some good ones there too. And God is having mercy and grace. As Christians pray and seek God, God can change the mold and the make of a nation. From the government on down to the least of whoever that is in a country. God can do it, but it takes us, as it says in Chronicles, to lay our lives down, to call upon the Lord, and let the Lord do a mighty work that needs to be done. I want you to turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. And would it be nice that God would answer these prayers of our psalms that I just mentioned? That he would bless America. That he would shed his grace upon America. And that he would protect us by his might. The great God, our King. You know, I often think as you're turning there, you know, we have the flag here of our nation. And we often say the Pledge of Allegiance. We pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. We don't fall to any other flag, you know, besides that one. That is the top dog, if you want to say it. You know, we have the Cajun flag, you know, we have the state flag, and those are good, and we need to have those things. And we even have the Christian flag that someone has come up with, you know, and that's a great thing. But as a nation, you know, we have one flag. One flag. Now, we all, basically, all of us come have French heritage, you know, and we have the French flag. You know, a lot of people have that flag, and they'll use that. But that's secondary to the American flag. That's why it's always a little higher than all other flags in America, you know, because it stands, if you want to say, head and shoulders above the rest. And so we keep that flag in allegiance, you know, the allegiance to that flag under God. Under God. And so, you know, we need to remember those things. Remember those things. That we don't lose sight. We don't lose sight of the blessings of God. But here we see. In Romans chapter 1. Look at verse 1. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now, here we see Paul. Now, you know, We know many things about Paul. Paul was a great man that God converted him. You know, his Jewish name was Saul, and God changed his name to Paul, which was a Gentile name, and he kept the Gentile name. That's interesting. But you know, we know what happened. God, you know, the great light shined upon him from heaven above, and he fell off the horse, and you know, and he gave his heart to the Lord, and Ananias went and prayed over him, and scales fell off of his eyes. He was separated unto God, separated unto him. And also we see that he wrote 13 books of the New Testament, you know, some kind of way in the side of maybe he didn't write Hebrews. I feel he did. He wrote the book of Hebrews. But he wrote 13 books of the New Testament. We see where he prayed over people, and they received the healing power of God upon their lives, the anointing and the presence of God upon this man. Because he was separated unto him. God is looking for a people that are separated unto him. I'm not talking about perfect people. And I'm not talking about isolated people. Because that's a big thing in the church world today, where the church world is isolated. I mean, they're moving to these compounds, and they have all this, and that's not what God said to do. God wants us to come out from among them and be separate, that our values are different. Our values are based upon the Word of God and what He said, but yet we still can function and be with these people in certain settings so we can be an example unto them, so they can see the light of the gospel. But we should never live an isolated life that we, no, I can't associate with you. You're less than me. Oh, no, 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 no. God wants to live wants us to live a separate life. You know, there are certain things in the Word of God that God says we should do and should not do. And that's what we are to follow. Well, that's what we are to follow. Let the line between the church and the world be clear again. Let the line between the church and the world be clear again. That's a muddy statement. That's a muddy statement. You know, years ago, well, maybe when you were young, you know, anybody got any fights when they were young? Oh, yeah.
No.
No brothers, no sisters, no. Yeah. You know how you draw that line? Cross that line? And the other person would get close to the line. And when you weren't looking, they put a toe over it, you know, or something, and then something would happen, and then you'd fight. Or even at school, you remember the days of when they'd say, yeah, just put a rock or something on your shoulder, and if you hit it off, you know, then you start fighting. That's the same thing. Just draw the line. That's just like, you know, one of our presidents said he drew a line for Syria and said, don't cross it. I think it was Syria. And they crossed it and he did nothing. You know what that means? That means they know you won't keep your word at all. Okay. So, you know, God wants us to draw that line between the church and the world again, that we live a separated life unto him, that it does not become muddy. That the church, the world can see the church in the light that it should be in. That we don't cross that line of doing what the world does. Amen,
amen,
amen. You know, Indian tribes. Do you think Indian tribes, when they're doing all their dancing and all this stuff that they do you think they're worshiping God? I can tell you now, no. That's spirit that they're trying to conjure up. Why would a Christian want to go and just sit and let, not job, I'm not talking about that. I clarify that. I'm talking about, why would any Christian church or school or anything Christian would want to go and sit there and see them with all their garb on, which is beautiful, to muster up the spirit world, which we know is not of God, which is mustering up the devilish spirit world, to come in and to see that. We are Christians. We have to draw the line and say, I will not cross over that line. No matter what it is. No matter what it is. We got to stand firm in our Christian walk with the Lord. Because let me tell you, anytime we dabble with the things of the world, it will come back to bite us and destroy us.
Yeah.
You know, you might say, oh Lord, you're getting it in. Wait, I want to make sure I say it right. I know you'd like, oh Lord. Do you think it's right for a born-again Christian to drink alcohol? Mr. Leonard, you are alcoholic. Do you think it's good for a Christian to drink?
No.
Well, some do, man. Mama, do you think it's good for a Christian to drink? No, it's not right. She had a father that was an alcoholic. I can, you, probably a whole bunch of people and say, no. Well, why are Christians crossing the line and saying, it's okay if it's just a little bit?
Yeah.
What does it do to your testimony as a Christian? As a Christian. That we are to stand for righteousness, separated unto God. Y'all warm, huh? Little bit? Yeah, just keep it. Look, if you get too hot, come up here. You can, yes. Look, a chair's for you. We are to live separated lives unto God. That we are not to cross those lines. But I know we need to have faith in our God, in what he did at Calvary's cross. As we put our faith in him, he helps us to overcome these things that need to be overcome in our lives. But people, we have to live holy, separated unto God. That we don't allow ourselves to be pushed into things that we know are truly against God's word. Oh, we have sipping saints now. And let me openly, it boggles my mind when I know that alcohol has destroyed millions and millions of families in America.
Yes.
And no telling how many around the world has destroyed men's lives and women's lives.
Yes.
Has brought how many collisions upon the road and destroyed families that were innocent.
Yeah.
I say, Pastor, you're kind of a whore. We need to wake up. God says to live a separated life. Now, we can't bring holiness unto ourselves. God, the Holy Spirit, brings holiness unto us, and he helps us by the Spirit of the living God to live a life that is pleasing unto him, holy and acceptable unto him. Paul was separated. That's why God used Paul to do mighty works. He wasn't even a disciple of the original 12, but to do mighty works for the kingdom of God, to lay hands on the sick and they recovered. My God, to write 13 books of the New Testament, to see the power of God move through this man's life. Because he lived that life that was pleasing unto God. And God is looking for a people that will please him, a separated unto him, a holy life unto him, knowing that, look, we're not perfect, but yet we can strive to be like our God and like him, letting the Holy Spirit roll with thunder, if you want to say it that way, on the inside of us, letting the Spirit of God move as we study the Word of God, as we call upon His name, as we pray in tongues and let the Spirit of God move, that the Spirit of God rolls on the inside of us and changes us, changes the way we think, changes the way we live, changes how we move by the power and the presence of our God. That's the kind of God that He's looking for, a people separated unto Him. Look at Noah. My God, God used this man. He put down those idols and turned and said, God, I want to follow You. And God moved upon his life. And if it wouldn't been for Noah, humanity would not be here. Separated unto Him. Watching the things we watch. Watching the things we do. Watching the things we say. Watching where our feet take us. Say, Lord, are You pleased with this? And let me tell you, you make a mistake, you fall on your knees before God, and you say, Lord, mercy. Mercy. And so mercy built the bridge. Mercy. Mercy. I want to read one other scripture to you. Separated unto Him. Turn to Romans 12, please. It says, look at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God says for us to present our bodies before Him, saying, Lord, I give You everything I have. You remember Abraham when he had to sacrifice his son? That was probably one of the hardest things that he ever had to do, thinking about it constantly. As he got to the mountain. Can you imagine when the boy said, well, where's the sacrifice? And he said, God will supply. When he knew it was him that was next to him. He took that boy, he wrapped him up, tied him up. Always remember, Abraham didn't know what God would do. But God had asked him to sacrifice his son. We know the end of the story. He didn't know it. He put his son on that altar. That's what God wants us to be, a living sacrifice. That means we don't do what we want to do. We don't do what we want to do. Let me say it again. We don't do what we want to do. It's getting a little louder. We don't do what we... what we want to do.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, my God. Oh, Lord.
We got it.
Don't almost hit me to the other building back there. That doesn't mean that God doesn't want us to have pleasure. That's not it. But we have to remember this. We've been born by God. We have to set God's agenda first. And let God's agenda be first in our lives and to get it done. And that's people being saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, living for Him, growing in Christ, sharing the gospel. We want revival. You know, I was praying that this morning, going throughout the church. We get here early, people. You know, we get here early. And, you know, that's just part of what we have to do. But just praying, saying, Lord, we need revival. We need revival. We need revival. The Spirit of God did not come to the 120 till they were all gathered together. They gathered together and God started to move and the Spirit of God came in. Prayer is a very important part of each and every one of our lives. And we need to pray individually for our families and friends and the church. But I tell you what, we need to pray collectively too. We need the power of God in our church. We need the power of God in our families. We need the power of God in our country. We need the power of God in this world. And we need it. We need the power of God to move within us. We need God, and that's going to take prayer. It's going to take bombarding heaven. It's going to take us holding on to the altar of God's altar and saying, Lord, move. Lord, move. Lord, move, as we keep on knocking. You know how the guy went for bread and fish to the neighbor's house at midnight? Boy, if somebody goes to your house at midnight, you know, and you're just at that place where you're out. And you hear a knocking, and you're going, oh, Lord. And it's the joker next door, you know. Wanted some bread and fish or whatever. But he kept on knocking till finally the guy got out of his bed and met him and gave him what he wanted. People, we need to get to God and say, Father, we need revival. Pour out your spirit. 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 We need revival. That's the only thing that will keep this country strong. The power of God. It's not in our military might, which thank God for. It's not in what we own. Thank God for it. It's not in what we possess, the land and everything. Thank God what we have. But it's in the great God Jehovah that gives us protection, that helps us, that moves upon our lives. We keep on knocking. If we truly want revival, we're going to have to come together and pray. If we want it. It's God saying, when I tell everybody, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, if my people will do it, I will come in and I will heal their land. I will move upon their churches. I will move upon their families. I want to ask you this, people. If you can, try to get here a little early on Sunday morning to pray. Ooh, there was no amens. No, I'm messing. Amen. Try to get here if you can at 9 o'clock. Oh, Lord. Am I pushing it? Come on, people. If we're really hungry, God says, if you're hungry, I'll meet your need. Now, you might see us cleaning stuff. You might see us cleaning chairs. You might, but that's okay. Try to get here at 9 o'clock to 9:30 and just pray. Come to the altar and say, Lord, we need revival in our church. Help pastor to preach. Lord, he needs some help. He needs some help. Give him the word, Lord God Almighty. Move upon us this day, Lord God. Bring new people into this place, Lord, that we can share the gospel with, Lord. Father, we need a touch from you. We can pray. It's like this. We can pray individually, which we need to. And it's like one firecracker at a time, one rocket at a time. And that's good. But let me tell you, you get a bunch of people coming in to pray, and it's like a big ballistic missile that goes forth into the heavens. And God is saying, oh, I hear my people. I'm going to touch them today. I'm going to move upon their lives. Lord, come on, people. Let's get to it. Let's get to the business of the Father. Let's get to his business. It's not my agenda. It's not yours, but it's his. Let's see what God can do. There's only one area that God says, test me. That's with money. Test me and see if I will not prove myself. He's talking about tithing and stuff like that. Let's test him. Saying, Father, we'll come together. Let's see what you're going to do. Let's see what you're going to do, Father. Let's see how you're going to move this day. Let's see how you're going to speak to us this day. Amen. We had a word from the Lord this morning. Thank you for letting God use you. He hears the cries of our people. My God, that should have made you cry more almost. I'm saying just prayer. That means if he's hearing our cry, let's get together. Let's get together. Let's get together and let him hear the cries of his people. Let us come together. Let me tell you. You know, you have children that aren't serving God. Let me tell you, you get 20 people in here that can pray. You call his name out. And let me tell you, these people agree with you. The power of God will move upon that situation. It's the power of God, people. God is wanting to move us in another step closer to him. But it's going to take us praying and seeking him. Young people, you can pray too. You're not left out of anything. No one's left out in the kingdom of God, from the youngest to the oldest.
Amen.
Come on, I want to encourage you to come, people. Come with us. Help Joanne and I to lift up this place together and see the power of God. What is it for the mayor to walk into this place? Oh my God, you say what? Why not? Why not? We have the mayor Philly in here. She feels in for the mayor. But she's a councilman. Hey, what about all the other councilmen? What about all the other people in Gaydon that need to hear the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ? How he can set them free, give them a life to live for. Come on, man. Let's get this thing together. Let's push it together. It's like a big bulldozer. You ever saw a bulldozer go through a forest?
Yeah.
Knocking down a tree. It's like toothpicks.
Yeah.
But if I get out there and I try to take a tree down, there's no way. There's no way. So you know what we do? We pray, we seek God, and we get on the bulldozer, which is God. And we let him bulldoze those things down. I want to encourage you, people, come. We're here. Come and let God move in your heart. Prayer will change the direction of our country. Prayer has already changed the direction of our country.
Yeah.
We need to get back to God, to the things of God, and let him move upon our heart. Oh, my Lord, it's only 11 o'clock, y'all. Can you believe we've been here this amount of time? 11 o'clock. Oh, my God. No. You can stand, please. I'm sorry. I didn't go over a little bit.